Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dale, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, now about the 12th Hour Living Hill, Texas. Today is August the 22nd, 2016, it is 11/20/2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, To Yahweh Be the Glory. To Yahweh be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Yeshua the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Perfect redemption, the precious of blood, and every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender, who truly believes, let man it from Yahshua, a pardon receive. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the earth hear His voice. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Yahshua the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great are rejoicing through Yeshua the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be a wonder of transport than Yeshua we see. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the earth hear His voice. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Yahshua the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Okay, new beginnings. We're going to start with the sermon. It's going to be entitled Mirrors-Looking-Glass. Okay, and the word looking glass appears, or the word glass appears 9 times in the KJV, the King James Bible. Looking glass appears in Job 37:18. Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and as a molten looking glass? Now it says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now let's go to James 1, chapter 1, and let's go to verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word, and now the word also translates into the law, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Okay, so really the title to our sermon should be Doer of the Law. Or better yet, a Doer of the Word, Doer of the Law, doer of all of his commandments. Okay. But we're going to deal with this glass. And the word mirror is not found in the Bible at all. Or mirrors is not found. But you find this looking glass is found. And now the looking glass, the two words together only appear one time, and that's in Job 37:18. And it talks about, hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong, and as a molten looking glass. In other words, we can look at the sky, but we can't see beyond the sky what's on the other side. That sweetness looks like a molten glass. A molten looking glass. Okay, that's what we have today. If we are looking at ourselves in a mirror, what are we beholding? Well, we can see ourselves clearly reflecting back. It means reflection. Mirror simply means reflection back to what you're seeing in the mirror. Whatever you're seeing, and the only thing you can see in the mirror when you look into it is reflection of your own self. So, what should be reflecting then back to us? Now let's go to Romans chapter 8, and let's start with verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according unto the will of the Father. Yahweh, Elohim. We use the sacred name, folks. Those of you that are hearing this sermon for the first time out there in the Gentile world, we hope and pray that we can get a lot of Gentiles to hear this message. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Yahweh, unto them who are the called according unto his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So I met Brother Aaron Saenz, S-A-E-N-Z, yesterday at the Methodist Church. A man that comes up from Harlingen, Texas, far south of Texas. And so we had a very interesting little talk and exchanged pleasantries and exchanged our names and addresses and phone numbers. So what I'm saying is there's a reason for everything, because whoever is predestinated, preordained, they are called, number one, they are called to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, our new friend, Aaron Saenz, he preached a sermon at the Methodist Church. He's a young man, entitled Mirrors, M-I-R-R-O-W-S. Or mirror, but the word mirror is not in the scriptures, but the word looking glass is one time, and then it talks about we see through a glass darkly. It talks about that in 1 Corinthians 13:12. But one day we're going to be known as we know him. We're going to be known even as we are known. We're going to know him even as we are known by him fully. All right. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of my many brethren. So our brother Aaron Sayens, unbeknown to him at this time, possibly, is called to be one of the firstborn among many brethren that are to follow in his footsteps. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. Now it says, in addition to, or also, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So I'm sure our brother Aaron Sayens, he received a call from someone. He lives in Harlingen, Texas, several hundred miles from here, from Austin, Texas. But apparently he was called by someone to come and be a guest speaker for a two-day event here at the Methodist Church in Liberty Hill, Texas, for August the 20th and 21st. And I met him on the 21st on a Sunday. And that was yesterday. Today is the 22nd. And so anyway, what the deal is, Yahweh is saying here through Paul to the Roman Gentiles. Now these are Roman Gentiles. He said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he did then he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. Now, I want to go to Revelation 17, 14, 12 to 14, and I want to read you something there. It says, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, that receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is a sovereign of sovereigns, and king of kings. And they that are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful. Now this is, dealing with a called people to join the Lamb, which is the Messiah, Yahshua, which the Gentile world calls him Jesus, and rightfully so, Jesus Christ. That's okay for right now, but we're going to introduce him to the Hebrew definition of the Messiah, and that is the Son, the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, the Father. Okay. And having said that, now I'm going to go and read to you there what the prophecy of Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 has to say about in connection with that. And we might find something very interesting there. It says, therefore wait ye upon me, saith Yahweh, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all of my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured of the fire of my jealousy. Verse 9. For then will I turn unto the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Yahshua. Name of who? The name of Jesus. Which his name is Yahshua, not Jesus. Jesus is a Latin term for Jesus, or Zeus, the god Zeus that they created way back in Babylonian time, carried it on down through the ages, and they finally decided to give the Son of Yahweh, Jesus, they decided to give him a connected name to Zeus. Called him Jesus in Spanish, and it's called Jesus, transliterated from the Latin, Spanish to the English, would be Jesus, to serve him as one consent. And so they called him Jesus Christ. Christ is another title that they give in the place of the title Messiah that Yahshua originally had when he came into this earth. He was called the Messiah. That's a Hebrew name for meaning Emmanuel or Yahweh with us, the Father with us. And so, therefore, the Latin, the Catholics, they are the ones, the Greek, I'm going to give the Greek Orthodox Catholics, Latin, they were the one that created the title Christ, and they took that from a sexual rubbing oil that they had, for Latin meaning Christo, meaning a sexual rubbing oil, and they give that title to Yahshua, Christ. So, you can see where when the Greeks get involved, they want to have everything to do with the translation of the New Testament. So when they get involved, look what they do. They go and corrupt everything. And they give the most vilest words and titles to our Savior, Yahshua, that died on the cross for the redemption of all mankind. They give him a derogatory term, like they give the Judean people. Back in Yahshua's day, they wanted to give him a derogatory term, so they just shortened Judean name to three letters, Jew. Now, all that is just like calling you a cuss word. They pinned it on him as for a derogatory term. Every time somebody said, "Well, there goes that Jew," they was talking about them low life dogs or something. Whenever they saw the word Jew, and lo and behold, they pinned that name also on our Savior Jesus Christ. They pinned that name also on him, Jew, J-E-W. Well, true, Yahshua was a Judean. He came through the lineage of David from Jacob. And that's where I came from, the lineage of Jacob through David. And Yahshua came through that lineage of the house of the tribe of Judah, the house of David. Judean. But they were called Judaites, or they were called Judean, or Judea. But they weren't called Jews. The Pharisees, that Greek Orthodox, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they hated Yahshua so much, they used every opportunity to corrupt his name. First they said the sacred name Yahweh is too sacred to use, so they changed that to God, a pagan title for Baal, a god that they created here, several thousand years earlier. So they give God the Father a pagan title, and then they said the reason why they did that because his name Yahweh was too sacred to pronounce. They couldn't pronounce it because it's too sacred. And then they wouldn't accept his son Yahshua as coming from God. But when he came to earth and proved that he was the son of Yahweh, and he used Yahweh's name, that was their first pretense that they used to hang him on a cross. Was the fact that he was claiming to be the son of Yahweh and using the sacred name Yahweh, and so they used that as their first pretense to hang Yahshua on the cross, the son. That he was corrupting the sacred name. He dared to blaspheme the Holy Spirit and using the sacred name of the Father, and then claiming to be the son of that sacred name, Yahweh. That's what got him hung on the cross, folks. You don't realize that, but that's the main reason. But anyway, it says right here in the last days, Zephaniah says in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9, "For then will I turn unto the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Yahshua, to serve him with the one consent." So if you're planning on meeting this here, say, this son of the Father from heaven one day, and you teaching and believing he's coming back to receive you because he paid a price on the cross for you, and you're going to be calling him by Jesus and Christ and Lord, all those pagan titles, then what is he going to say to you when you come pounding on his door and saying, "Hey, open up to us"? he's going to say, I never knew you, because you didn't call me by my right name. So he said, I never recognized you as trying to address me, because you never called me by my right name. So I never did look around to see who was calling who Jesus, Lord God, and Christ and all. He said, I never looked around, because that's not my name. I didn't connect up with that. But if you was to use my real name, the Hebrew, Paleo Hebrew, which is the Paleo is your origin of the Hebrew language, and it started at the Garden of Eden. If you use my sacred name that I came from heaven with, then I would have turned and answered you, because I know that you would have known me personally, and that you had connected up with me personally through the Holy Spirit, because you know my name. Okay, so enough said on that. Let us now go back to let's go to Daniel now. Chapter 12, and let's see what we come up with there. I think it's about verse 10 that I'm after. It says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, what is this talking about? Many shall be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So now, if you're wise unto salvation, and you've been called by the Spirit, and you've been preordained and predestined unto this salvation. Okay, now what did I say? Salvation? All right, now that leads me to John chapter 4, that our dear brother Aaron Sands, he was no doubt preaching from that chapter as well in his sermon. I don't think he records his sermons. If he does, I'd like to have a copy of it. If they did record it there at the church, I'd like to have a copy of it. Well, it is a very good sermon. I really compliment the man. I thought it was a good sermon. The only thing is, before I go to John chapter 4, though, to deal with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and that well of water springing up in the eternal life that Yahshua introduced her to and offered to her, and she accepted incidentally, and she caused the whole city of Samaria to come and hear Yahshua for 2 days, and they accepted that well of water springing up into eternal life. And these Samaritans, guess what? They had Jewish blood running through them. They had the 10 tribes of Israel's blood running through them. That's what made them identified as Samaritan Gentiles, because they were mixed with the 10 tribes that had gone into captivity in 721 B.C. there in Anti-Assyria. They had mingled themselves with the Gentiles, and that's why they were called. That's why Yahshua went to see them. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, those people, he said, those Gentile Ephesians, he said, we are brethren, folks. Well, where those Ephesian Gentiles come from? They come from the 10 tribes, just like that Samaritan woman there in John 4 came from. She was mixed with the 10 tribes of Israel. That's the reason they had a temple there in Samaria where they worshipped at. Okay, but now I want to go back, though, to James chapter 1. And I want to look at that, I think it's verse 24 that I'm after. Or 23, let's see. James chapter 1. It says, verse 25. It says in verse 24, let's read verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word, hyphen law, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass.
For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Okay, and how can you do that? How can you look enough to a mirror and see your reflection right back on you, and you know every little detail of your body? Every facial feature, every wrinkle, you know every spot on your body. And yet you can turn away and walk away and forget? That's not what it means at all, folks. What it means is, in verse 25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, isn't this amazing? Actually, I want to deal, before I go to that woman at the well in John chapter 4, I want to deal here with this word, W-O-R-D. And this is so important. It's because it says in James 1:23, for if we be a hearer of the word, and remember I said the word is a synonymous term with the law, well, I'm going to prove that to you. And not a doer. Okay. This word and doer are two key words that we want to reflect on. And this reflect is another, is what the mirror does. It reflects back the truth to you of what you just beheld in a mirror. All right, now watch this. And James chapter 3. Let's just skip over to James chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, what? Offend not in, I add the article. The article is missing. If any man offend not in the word. The word is very, very important to remember now. Remember those two words, the and word. The same as a perfect man and able also to bridle his whole body. Now, let us go back to John chapter 1. And then hopefully we'll end up on John chapter 4 to conclude our service. John chapter 1. And let's just start with verse 1. In the beginning. Oh my. In the beginning. When is the beginning? All you got to do is go back to Genesis chapter 1 and read verse 1 there. It tells you when the beginning took place. The first day of creation, which took place 6,000 years ago. In the beginning was the Word. Now, was is a past tense adverb describing something that had an origin somewhere. And if you can say you don't know when that origin was, but then there's no need of using that adverb was. But if we can, by faith, believe the Bible's account of the beginning of creation, that it took place 6,000 years ago, and we can prove that in so many different ways from the Bible. But anyway, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Was the Word? All right, now, let's go look at John 1:14. Let's just fast forward to the 14th verse now. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this Word was made manifest in the flesh. And this Word has an original name, Paleo-Hebrew name, given to it in the beginning. That's back at the creation. Because Yeshua, the Word, was with the Father in the beginning of creation. Matter of fact, it says that in Revelation 3:14, that, yeah, sure, the Word was the beginning of the creation of the Heavenly Father. Put those all together and remember those now. Okay, so where was Yahshua then created? He was created in heaven. And then when Yahweh got ready to, the Father got ready to come down to this earth to create this earth, he brought his Son with him. And they became co-creators of this world. Now how do I know that? Because in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3 tells me so. Okay, now let's go read that. Hebrews chapter 1. For the Yahweh, who at the sundry times and in divers manners, meaning in different types of ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Yahshua, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Okay, now by whom, by is a preposition, whom is a pronoun, describing who it was that he created the worlds by, and that was his Son. Okay, by whom also is a conjunction word, meaning and moreover or in addition to me creating the world, I also use him as my co-creator. He made the world. Okay. Now we're going to go back to John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 3. All things were made by him. Who? This by the preposition that connects us up with Yahshua the Son. Yahweh the Father is the predominant figure here. He's the number one. His Son is number two. And actually, Yahshua is number three. The Holy Spirit that belongs to the Father is number two. That's what makes everything work, is the Holy Spirit. And then Yahshua is number three. But anyway, it's Father and Son, number one and two. We'll do it that way. They both have the same Spirit. Okay? All right, now it says, all things were made by him. By who? By Yahshua. By the power of the Holy, of the Heavenly Father, Yahshua being the co-creator, it says all things was made by him. In other words, the Father used the Son to make all things by the Son. And without him was not anything made that was made. So now it says, everything that was made, without Yahshua, there would not be anything made. The Father would not have created anything if it hadn't been for, first he created his Son. Now, I want to show you about this creation of his Son being the first creation. It's right there in Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Lord of the sins, write, these things saith the Amen. Now, this is Yahshua talking. And he's this Amen. He also has this title of Amen, A-M-E-N. As a faithful and true witness. Now, he has also that title, Yahshua the Savior, Jesus Christ, as you know him, right now. He is his faithful and true witness. And then it says, comma, the beginning of the creation of God. And who is God? According to Paul, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of the Yahshua. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. Now Paul was a Jew, folks, what we call a Jew today. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Yahshua, the Son. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Yahshua is the Father, God. So, what does that tell us? When it talks about over here in Revelation 3:14, that Yahshua, the Amen, the beginning of the creation of Yahweh, the Father. I'll read that again, Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of the Father, God, or Yahweh, as for sake of brevity, so we don't have any confusion for our Gentile brethren that are listening to this. This God is the same thing there in Romans 1:20. The Godhead. Godhead is two words, two English words put together, meaning a compound noun, meaning one. Godhead. Because it says there in Romans 1, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even unto his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Okay, so now you're without excuse. Because the Bible plainly makes it clear that Godhead means one. It's a compound noun, two words put together meaning one. Okay. So it don't mean three in one makes the Godhead. No, that don't mean that at all. It means two words compounded into one compound noun means one, and that's the Father. He's the head of all principalities and powers. It says so in Ephesians, chapter 4. Let's go ahead and describe this here a little bit more about the Word. It says, let's just go ahead and identify this Word equivalent to the law. Let's go look at Psalms 105, verse 8, 9, and 10 for more confirmation on this. Okay, it says that 105, it said, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word now. So now here we have the word is a synonymous term with covenant. And if you go to Leviticus 26, you'll find out the covenant means all his statutes and commandments and laws. Okay. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. In other words, he commanded the law of Moses to 1,000 generations once Moses wrote it. And Moses wrote the law about 1500 B.C. coming out of Egypt. After he came out of Egypt, while he was in the wilderness, he wrote the law of Moses. Putting aside part of the ark there in Deuteronomy 31, starting with verse 19. All right, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. All right, the covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. And confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Okay, let's look at that again. Psalms 105, verse 8, 9, and 10. He hath remembered his covenant forever. The word. In other words, the law of Moses that was commanded by Moses through Aaron. Aaron is the one that actually delivered it. Moses spoke it and wrote it, but Aaron delivered it. All right. Which he commanded to 1,000 generations. I heard a preacher yesterday named Aaron delivering the word. Okay, so that's very significant, folks. Remember that. Psalms 105, verse 9, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and unto Israel for an everlasting covenant. And my name, my ancestors are Jewish, and I come from the Jacob clan. Johannes, J-A-H-A-N-N-S, I believe. Johannes Jacob. My name was changed to a German name because they wanted to lose their identity so they avoid persecution during World War II. My father came from Germany with a German name. But his original name was Jacob, and that's who I am. I'm of the family of Jacob. Okay. Psalms 105, verse 11. Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. All right, now let's go to Proverbs 6, 23. Let's see what we're at here. Now let's go to Psalms 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So where's the word? It's a lamp under your feet, or the law. Word hyphens is a synonymous term with the law. Is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. You know what the definition for the name Aaron is? Means that he's a light bearer. That's what it says. Definition, he's a light bearer. He's a bearer of the light. That's what Aaron means. Okay, keep that in mind. Now, in Proverbs 6:24-25, I believe it's 6:24. Verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp. Okay, now here we're getting closer to this here, this lamp being the light, and it says the commandment is a lamp. And the law is light. This is Proverbs 6:23. And the law is light. And reproofs of the instructions are the way of life. Okay. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Okay. That's what the commandment is for. It's a lamp. And what is a strange woman? It means strange doctrines of false churches. That's what it says. To keep thee from the evil woman. But who is the evil woman? You go to Revelation 17 and you can read about that evil woman, who the evil woman is. Revelation 17, verse 3 and 4. It's called Mystery Babylon. That's what we'll read about. That's what we'll read about that evil woman. He says, verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now let's go read in a contrast to that evil woman. Let's go read about the pure woman in Revelation chapter 12. It says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 12 apostles, or the 12 patriarchs of Jacob, which was his 12 sons. Okay. So there appeared this here pure woman here in our day, in Revelation 12. Revelation means revealing of all the prophecies dovetailing into the end time, for the end time, that means Revelation. And so he's revealing this pure woman here in Revelation 12, and he's appearing, revealing this evil woman that is competing against the pure woman here in Revelation 17, verse 5. Okay? So now when it says there in Proverbs 6:24, it says, To keep thee, what is a commandment given for? Is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instructions are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the false churches, in other words, whoever's teaching contrary to the law of Moses, they're not light bearers of the truth, I can tell you that. To to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Okay. It says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Same thing with a false church or false teachings of a false church, if they're teaching contrary to the law of Moses and the holy Sabbath day. Then they're dealing with this whorish woman. I can tell you that right now. Okay. Now let's go to John chapter 4. Didn't need to get there. It says that when therefore, let's start with verse 1. When therefore the Yahweh knew how the Pharisees had heard that Yahshua made and baptized more disciples than John, though Yahshua himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs to go through Samaria. Okay, now he's on his way to Galilee, and that's where the Judean hills are at. But he's got to go north about 10 miles from Jerusalem and pass through Samaria on his way to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he unto a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave unto his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Yahshua, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yahshua saith unto her, give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew, now here she is, she fell a prey to this this acronym, J-E-W, which is all it is a Jew. It has no meaning at all except the derogatory term for the Judean, for the man of Galilee, Judea. That's the main reason they invented the word Jew, was to castigate Yahshua. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me? And you know what? I doubt that the woman even used that word Jew. I'm sure she used it just like she was introduced to it as Judean. She had respect unto the Judean people, because she was a good Christian woman up there in the north. She knew that the word Jew was derogatory, but I'm sure the translators put that in there anyway. All right, how is it that thou, being a Judean, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Judeans have no dealings with the Samaritans. Yahshua answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of Yahweh, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me the drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Here again I remind you that my ancestors were Johannes Jacob. And my great-great-great-grandfather was Johannes Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Well, this Elijah David is my Bible name. It was given to me in 2002 when I was making a transition to a higher level. I was given that name Elijah David. And now I find out here just several days ago, here about August the 19th, that my clan name is Jacob's. coming from the Jewish clan of the Johanns Jacobs. Now she answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, now to come hither to draw. The she saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. The she said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto her, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Yeshua saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain, here in Samaria, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Nor yet. You worship you know not what. Now here he is talking to a Gentile, Samaritan woman. Her blood is mixed with the 10 tribes of Israel, Hebrew Israelites. Here she is actually a brethren of the Hebrews. She's kinfolks to the Hebrew. And Yahshua is saying, but you worship you know not what. For we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, and I say again, Judean, of Judah. Actually, we should use the word Judah, tribe of Judah. That was one of the names of Jacob, of his 12 sons, that was made ruler over the tribe of Judah. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers, and that hour is the 12th hour, and that 12th hour we entered into, parabolic hour, we entered into in 2002. And people don't know this, the world don't know this. I know this, because I'm a prophet in Israel that has been given the office of the inspiration for this 12th parabolic hour. It says, Verily the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, this is our brother Aaron Sayens. This is his main point that he wanted to make, and he did put it across very well in his sermon. He said, But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth. That was his punchline for the whole sermon. In the Spirit and in the truth. Now, I want to go take you to Psalms 119, verse 142, and I want you to see where David, the psalmist, had to say he was a type of Yahshua the Son. David was a type. And I also have that biblical name, Elijah David. Elijah is just a messenger. David comes in the spirit and power of the Elijah, antithetical David, that is. That's who's speaking to you now. Psalms 119, 142. And it says, Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth, or your law is in the truth. So now let's go back to John chapter 4, and let's read verse 23 again. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. For the Yahweh is a spirit. Well, I'm going to correct that statement also, because Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Yahweh is not a physical person like we are, but that he is just a spirit. And 144,000 that's going to join him and the Son are nothing but spirits. Only those people that are left here on earth, the Jehovah, according to Jehovah's Witnesses, are going to be the only physical beings that you're going to see throughout eternity. You're never going to see the Father, the Son, because they are spirit. Because it's written right here of John 4:24, Yahweh is a spirit. But if you put the preposition in there, because A is an indefinite article following a verb, and that is that's not proper grammar. So if you want to use a proper grammar of the English language, and that's what it was given for, don't leave any words out, then you put, for the Yahweh is with a spirit. And so now if you want to put it more accurately, you say, for the Yahweh is with his spirit. Because Yahweh's spirit is what passed on first to the Son, and then to all of those that are conformed to the image of his dear Son, there in Romans 8:28. For Yahweh is with the Spirit, for the Yahweh, and they that worship him, the Father, Yahweh, must worship him in the Spirit. Now, I put the article there behind the preposition in, making that a complete grammatical statement, in the Spirit. And then if I want to make it more accurately, I say in his Spirit, which is a pronoun for the Father. Him is a pronoun for the Father. So I say, for the Yahweh is with a spirit, and they that worship the Yahweh must worship him in his Spirit and in the truth that I just recited to you from what the truth is. It says in Psalms 119:142, he says, thy law is the truth. Okay. We're going to continue this sermon and this topic of this, the law is the truth. We're going to continue that in our next study. We're at the end of our study for this hour, so can just stay tuned and click on 11thhourcall.com, and that's number 11. Click on to hear the rest of the story. You'll find it listed on your left-hand column there on my website, 11thhourcall.com. You'll find it there at the bottom of the list. Be my latest sermon, and the next one no doubt will follow up on what we just talked about. The law is the truth, and we're going to go into more what all truth is altogether. Okay, I'm going to dedicate this to my new friend Aaron Sayens, a song that I have written back in 2006, August 26, 2006. I wrote this song entitled "Lead Me to the Rock," taken from, I believe, Psalms 61. Isaiah 61, verse 2, it reads, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And that's, I wrote my song, "Lead Me to the Rock That Is Higher Than I," before I even knew that that scripture was in the Bible. And then I found that scripture after I wrote my song, and it was identical to the exact words that I used, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And that's how I started my song that I wrote in 2006. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, and I'll forever be indebted to the sun, the very one is but a stepping stone for the greater heights I have to attain. Never done alone. Lead me to the rock, oh, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's harder now. Lead me to the place of the Savior's feet. Lead me to those mansions in the sky. A man on a mission came to this world, sort of on the slum. Born in a manger and scarcely a stranger could be seen passing by. For the moon shone bright with the heavenly lights of all the stars he hoped. hunt of them all, this one that flies of moan. Lead me to the rock that is hard as pie, lead me to the fountain that never runs dry, and lead me in the path by the river of the fire, lead me to those branches in the sky. Star pointed to the newborn king as he lay in the manger's crib. For he's a descendant of the one created from the Adam's rib. As the time rolled on, many stories are told about the man of the Galilee. How he changed the water into the wine and made the blind to see. Lead me to the rock, oh, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's hard and not. Or lead me to the place that the sages see. Or lead me to the places in the sky. For this is a man for all times born to men come to rely. But when the sun man he married so right before their eyes. Oh, and then they died and he rose again with the victory over the grave. With the proof in once and for all that he has the power to save. Don't leave me in the desert, barren and dry. Vanquished forever and let me rather, lead me to that fountain that never runs dry. Lead me to the rock that is hard and nigh. Lead me to the rock, oh, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's hard and nigh. Lead me to the place of the Savior's feet. Lead me to those mansions in the sky. Oh, yes. Lead me to those mansions in the sky.